Praise the Lord. This afternoon, I just want to take a few minutes and talk to you about God's response to persecution. This was something that was just really just dealing with my own heart, especially as I was looking at the story of Paul and Silas, which I'm going to reference and talk about that story. Also, too, talking a little bit about the story of Peter, who was jailed, and we're going to go there in the book of Acts. But, you know, I think this is, for me, a message that really speaks to many of us that are here in our city that might be going through something. Persecution simply means a condition of being persecuted, being harassed. It even goes as far as to be defined as even annoyed. I think us New Yorkers can testify that there are times in our lives where we are annoyed or we've been harassed. You know, when we think persecution, we know full well in this very dark season that there's persecution going on all over the world. Religious persecution, Christians being persecuted, there's political persecution, cultural persecution, social status persecution. But I even want us to really take this to heart, that right here in our backyard, I know that there are many that are being persecuted, whether it be on your jobs, whether it be even in your schools, just within your neighborhoods. Some of you are even being persecuted in your own homes, harassed and annoyed, and is really persecution is even defined as to go even further as to even be tortured, to be abused, to be afflicted with pain, undeserved. And so I want to really look at God's response to persecution. And some of us even this afternoon might be saying, amen to that. I'm still waiting for a response. God, give me some type of sign that you're in this. And a lot of times it's, for me, when I look at persecution, we have to go ahead and recognize that as a people that are pursuing Christ Jesus, we are going to be persecuted. You know, Paul said it. He said, if you're pursuing godly living, he said it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that those of us that are pursuing godly living in Jesus Christ, we're going to be persecuted. You know, and so I just want to really take some time and look at that and understand that, first of all, my first point would be this. What is your response to God in the time of persecution? A lot of times we spend most of our time responding to those that are persecuting us rather than responding to God. That's what happens when you've been annoyed, when you've been harassed, when you've been afflicted, when you've gone through a lot. We find ourselves giving a lot of attention to the one that's persecuted us or to those that have persecuted us rather than giving ourselves up to the attention that is deserved to Christ, who is the answer to all persecution. And that through that, we'd be able to identify with Christ's suffering. I mean, take, for example, just a simple, practical, you know, people are on social media all the time, right? I mean, you see anybody, you know, a lot of us will say, I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook because I'm with my family. But you'll find when you get on social media, you run into your enemies too. Uh-huh. And it's amazing how as much as we might be harassed or annoyed or persecuted by certain people in our lives, I'm just telling it how it is, and I just want to speak very practical today. But there are times where we'll find ourselves following people through social media, the very people that hurt us, and rather than focusing our attention on the one who can deliver us and set us free from all harm and danger, you find yourselves staring at those through social media, the ones that are hurting you, as if that's going to do you any good. And you'll find yourself just kind of surfing right on through and, oh, look at that person. Oh, hey, you know, that I don't believe that post. Okay. I know that's not how they feel, you know, and we'll find ourselves indulging and just really feeding what is just not only pain, but now developing an attitude of anger and bitterness because we haven't responded to God and we're simply just responding to those that persecute us. We get on the phone, we call a friend, we complain about it for hours rather than just responding to God. We whine about it. We're frustrated about it. We gossip about it. We'll write little subliminal messages in our own Facebook posts. As if nobody knows what you're really talking about. No, I mean it, church. We'll exhaust our time, our energy, and our efforts responding to the persecution instead of responding to the one who can deliver you from persecution. This is really important. Turn over with me into the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16. And this is the story of Paul and Silas. And I'm going to read just a little bit here. Starting with verse 22. Paul and Silas had, these young men had been ministering. The short end of it, there was a young lady who was possessed, a little girl. She continued to bother Paul for several days. Paul cast that demon out of her. Then the owners of this little slave girl got mad, rallied the whole city around them, were frustrated because she was telling people's future under the demonic spell. And when she couldn't tell people's future anymore, it messed up their business. So they decided, well, let's get everybody around and let's just now take them to the magistrate. And so they jumped Paul and Silas, dragged them into court. And then the crowd beat on them. And look at Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 22. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them, and they gave orders to beat them with rods. Now stop right there. That's like two beatings right there in one. First, the crowd beat them up. Then the magistrate gives the order for the soldiers to beat them up. And verse 23, and when they had inflicted many blows upon them, that means they had been persecuted. They'd been beaten very badly. They threw them into a prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Not only have you been beaten up several times, but now you're in the innermost prison. You're shackled by these chains. And then here is this amazing verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, for us, that don't make no sense in the natural. It really doesn't. And for most of us, to be honest with you, come that midnight hour, that's when we're fussing the most. If you really think about it, it is amazing how as restless as we can get because of either just the trials you're going through, the harassment you're facing, the persecution you're facing, we'd pace all night long, but nobody is giving a response to God. What's your response to God? In the midnight hour, what are you doing? When everything has gone wrong for the entire day, and it's just been a messed up day, how are you responding to God? We have this amazing testimony of these two people, Paul and Silas, that when beaten down and afflicted and when full of pain, I mean, we're talking shackled, which means they can't even get in a comfortable position. A lot of us, we feel like our best prayer and our best worship comes when we're nice and comfy in Times Square Church. Some of us, don't ask me to get my worship on at midnight. We stressing over what we got to do Monday morning. How you can't stand your boss because he talks nasty to you. Or your coworkers because they laugh at you because every time you've tried to pray or get into the word in the cafeteria or at lunchtime, somebody's got a joke. And we're walking in fear and we're pacing through the night rather than say, let's just get down on our knees and worship God because he is God. Let's just praise. At that point in moment, when Paul and Silas get on their knees to pray, they have no idea what's to happen next. It's just to praise and worship God because he is God. Because he gets all the glory. Because he's my savior. Because he's majesty. Because he's king. Because I believe in him and I trust him. So no matter what I'm going through, no matter how I'm being just persecuted, I am going to get my praise on. What's your response to God? What's your response to God? Turn to Psalms 109 real quick. We're going to go through scripture here. So you're either writing it down or flipping with me as fast as you can. But we're going to look at a few things here. Psalm 109. Here's David. He writes this in verse 1. Be not silent, O God of my praise. Verse 2. For wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me. Oh, but this is good. But I give myself to prayer. I'm going through some stuff, David says. They attack me. I'm simply just trying to love you, God, and love people. And in response, I'm just going to pray. Now, that's hard for some of us New Yorkers. Some of us feel like we got something to say to those that persecute us. Those that harass us, those that annoy us. You've got family members, maybe that have been coming down on you, joking, laughing at you because of what you believe in Jesus Christ. You're the brunt of their joke, the brunt of the jokes that are going on at the job, maybe in the neighborhood, I don't know. And some of us, boy, our claim is, I'm originally from Virginia, so when you think Virginia, is really not much to brag about. I'm just from Virginia. But when I came to New York City, I realized that everybody would give me their name. So when you greet people, hey, what's up, man? How you name? Oh, I'm Alonzo from Brooklyn. Oh, all right. You know, and it just, you know, no matter who I met, you know, hey, what's your name? Oh, I'm Lisa from Queens, QB, the borough, Queensbridge. Okay. But, you know, in reality, our life here in our city and in our culture has created a certain way of thinking that in the sense that we have to represent who we are and where we are from, our environment, our demographic, our people, our culture. And you got to understand something, that when we have been adopted into the kingdom of God, we now represent the culture of Christ. And that response is for us to look before our God and pray and worship and say, God, you're on the throne, and I am not going to retaliate that in a way that disrespects the God that I serve. What's your response to God in persecution? Now, here's my second point I want to give you. God gives light to lead you out. Yes, he will. Turn with me real quick. Back to Acts. Acts chapter 12. And this is the story of Peter here. And we're going to get back to Paul and Silas, but I want to do a little bit of a comparison here. Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison. Now this was the time Herod, I mean, this guy was at his worst. He had just killed James. It was a violent time. And now he had arrested Peter. And so Peter was kept in prison. And this is important, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And I'm going to go back to that in a little bit. Now, verse 6, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Herod was planning to kill him. That's really what scripture is referring to. He was going to kill Peter. When Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. This is powerful. God gives a light to lead you out. Now, it's very important to understand this. Here is Peter. He's got two soldiers. He's asleep. All right. Now, interesting comparison here. Paul and Silas, they were getting their worship on, beat up double time, and they just worshiping. Now, we're not quite sure how beat up Peter was going in, but Peter decided to take a nap. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and say that's because he was confident that God was going to show up, but maybe Peter just simply had a bad habit of falling asleep. He did it before with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, we're not going to get into all of that. We can go back and forth on that all afternoon. But we will say this, that here you have Peter who took a nap, and here you have Paul who decided to get his praise on. But yet, what we're going to find out, that God in his grace still shows up and shows his light down on us. I want you to know that for you and I that are walking in faith, believing Jesus Christ, that whether you're getting your praise on in the midnight hour and whether you done fall asleep accidentally, God's still going to show up and give you his light. I'd encourage you to get your praise on. But we have a gracious God who gives us his light. That light shone right there. You know what? Paul said it. He said, what can separate us from the love of God? He listed a whole bunch of things, and one of them was persecution. No, nothing can separate us from the love of God. No matter how many enemies you've got stacked up against you, the light of Christ is going to show up. Yeah. Glory to God. Standing between two enemies, between two guards, shackled with two chains, there he is, and the angel of the Lord just shows up. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. God's going to show up. He's going to give his light. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of God is lifted. David said, what? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, in that moment, that the angel of the Lord strikes Peter to get up. Get up. There's an urgency now. You need to get up. You need to get dressed. Let's keep reading just a little bit here. Scripture says this, the angel says to him in verse 8, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. Verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent an angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. In John chapter 8, 12, just listen to me. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, this wonderful reminder that God gives light to lead you out is so important. It is, for me, the essence of your salvation. And you knowing that no matter how much you've been persecuted, you are going to make your way out if you are led by God in the power of his light. I said this, God gives light to lead you out. It happens with God's leading. Sometimes we're like, God, just give me some light so I can get out. Because sometimes in persecution, we want to get out based upon our own fear or our own doubt that we're going to make it. But I don't want to just get out. I want to be led out by the power of God. It's a big difference. Really big. Because now I'm depending on the word of God to make my move. And I'll only move when God wants me to move. Because then when you move only because God wants you to move, it is a complete reliance on God and not necessarily in the essence of trying to escape persecution. You understand what I'm saying? This is why David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet. So I'm trusting in your word. I move, my feet move based on my obedience to your word. And it's a light unto my path. This is important. It's the dependency on the light that God would lead you out of your situation. I remember growing up in Virginia, young. Down there, my dad used to always send me and my brothers to these camps, these dark wooded camps. And then there was all these little trails and paths that you could go through. Now, I don't like the dark. Most people don't like the dark. I don't like no pitch dark. How many people you know get excited when they standing in pitch dark? But I remember the one thing that was really important for me to have when I would take these little retreats and these little camps to these camps was my little flashlight. You know, anybody like be concerned about walking in the dark? And you ever, I don't know, now we got our phones, but back then, me growing up, I didn't know I had no phone like that. It's a little flashlight, and you would beat on it every second to make sure them batteries work. You know what I'm talking about? And you'd have that flashlight, you'd be going, and you only pull the flashlight up just for a quick second to look forward. But most of the time, when you're walking in a dark path in the woods, where's that flashlight at? We keep that thing down. I want to see where my feet are going. I'm not so concerned as to what's on the end of the trail. I just need to make sure that every step I take, there's a little bit of light that's guiding me. So now I'm not so concerned about what's ahead when I know that I have the light of Christ Jesus guiding me every step of the way. So you see what I'm saying? So when we're going through persecution, when we're going through harassment, when we're going through just the trials that you're facing, maybe you can't see the exit yet. But every step of the way, you're guided by the light of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, if you follow me, what? You won't walk in darkness. I don't know when the darkness is going to end, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm walking in the light. That's God's response to us in persecution. I don't see the ending. I don't see the ending. But when is it all going to end? Don't worry about that. Trust his word. Stay in the word. Just keep your response fully on God and give him praise. We have Jesus Christ who came, died on the cross, and gave us life. He's the light of the world. He died because of you and I and our sin and our wickedness and in our darkness. And hallelujah, in exchange, I've got this ongoing spotlight that just keeps me going. God gives us light to lead us out. Here's another point I want to tell you. God will shake up your circumstances. Turn back to Acts real quick. Let's get back to that midnight hour. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 26. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Let me remind you of something. You know, when you're going through persecution, and when you decide to make a response, whether to those that are persecuting you or responding simply to God in praise and worship, it better be the right response, because you always have an audience. You and I, who represent Jesus Christ, somebody's always watching. And whether you're on your good day or your bad day, whether annoyance and harassment has been bombarding you all day long, you are still in a position of influence when you are a child of God walking in faith. And here we have an audience. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Now, this is interesting. The jailer called for lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household." And this is amazing to me. What's your response to God? God gives light to lead us out. So we get our praise on, we get our worship on. We're praying. No matter who has hurt our feelings, no matter what you're going through, God has lied. He's lit up our path through his son, Jesus Christ. And now he's going to shake up your circumstances. How do you react to God? God's response to you and what he does. He gives us his light through his son, Jesus. And now he shakes up the circumstances that you're going through. Because once that you are now in a position where you are attentive to God, let me tell you something. There's going to be something that's going to happen in the supernatural. It's not going to make sense in the natural, but it's going to be a supernatural encounter with God. The whole earth shook. The chains fall off. The gates, the bolts, everything all fall over. The doors fall over. There becomes a shaking. When we look through the history of Scripture, every time that there was a shaking, that was God saying, I have the authority and the power in your life. And I will speak, and you will listen, and there will be a shaking in your circumstances. That's God. Now, here's what's so powerful about this moment. Not only will he shake up your circumstances, but he'll shake up the circumstances of those around you. I believe that he would unfasten all of the chains of all of those that are around, because the very worship and the very prayer that Paul and Silas put up was bearing witness of the good news of Jesus Christ. And there becomes a receptive reaction to you and I who would praise God in the midst of persecution. That no matter what I'm going through, there'll be a response of those around us that would say, simply based on the way that you are reacting to your persecution, I believe. And in the grace of God, he breaks the chains. Breaks the chains of those that are around. And then God's not done, because he's full of grace and he desires to save all, that no man would perish. So something else supernatural happens. There's one more person in there. The jailer. He wakes up. And this is amazing to me, because Scripture says when he wakes up, he sees that the gates of prisons are, the doors are down. And from his perspective, from what he could see, everyone is gone. He didn't see Paul. He didn't see Silas. He didn't see all of the men in prison. So what does he do? He draws his sword, because those that are committed simply to their job and everyday life, they're hopeless without the hope we find in Jesus Christ. So he goes to draw his sword. But then Paul cries out in the dark. Wait. Paul, you're not in the same room as him. No. Paul was not even in the same room as him. Which means when Paul cries out, he's crying out in the supernatural power of God. Not in the natural, but in the supernatural power of God. Hey, hold on. Don't kill yourself. Because now, out of his praise and worship, he now reflects the very grace and the compassion that God has. The very man that beat him up, he would cry out in the dark in the supernatural for his salvation. For some of us, if God opened up our supernatural eyes to see the person that had beat us down, we'd say, oh, Lord, let him go on and just let him do what he got to do. But when your response to God, you see, when you've responded correctly to God, you don't respond in the natural. You respond in the supernatural. And so he cries out. What a supernatural moment that he now stops and he says, somebody give me lights. I can't see what's going on. Somebody just called me out in the dark, told me don't die. He comes running into that other room and Paul's. He said it. He said, we're all here. Why is everybody there? Because darkness could no longer hold them in fear, in guilt, in the doubt of wondering when we'll get out. You see, if those men weren't saved by the grace and the power of God, those prisoners would have went running out of there. But now, because they know that there's a God who saves, there's a God who shines down light in the dark hour. None of them moved. They didn't have to move, because they were now standing in the peace and the power of Jesus Christ. No more fear in the dark. The only person who's asking for a light is the jailer, and he's about to get saved too. Because there's a supernatural light that shows up. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, I'll just say this, but there's an after effect in God's response. It's an aftershock, really. Just in close, I say this. There's an aftershock, which means there was a shocking moment in Peter's story that when he walked out and went to go visit the church, the group of people that were praying, there was a little girl that came to the gate. And he said, hey, I'm here. And she was so shocked to hear his voice that she left him there, right there at the gate, didn't even let him in. And goes running up and then has a very hard time convincing them that, no, Peter's really here. You see, if we're going to pray earnestly the way they began praying, let's pray right on through expecting the supernatural. It took some convincing, but they finally came down. And boy, did they get to shouting and celebrating. Peter had to tell them, shh, calm down. I just got out of here. And it becomes a testimony to the church. It's the after effects of you and I pressing through in our persecution, knowing that God responds. And then there's this amazing after effect and aftershock that happens in Paul and Silas. The very guy that had sat him down here in the inner prison, beaten up, takes Paul and Silas home. The whole family gets saved. And not from beating him up to now washing off all of his wounds, making sure that he's okay, and then feeding them. They all sit down and have dinner together. I mean, come on, that's God. That's God that would bring restoration and healing. This is why Paul goes on to say, he says this, I'm convinced that this present suffering can't compare to the glory that's going to be revealed. So I'm convinced. Praise God. Praise God. God is going to respond. He's going to respond on your behalf. Can we stand up? Praise God. I'm going to encourage you just in this time that we worship to come forward and pray and worship God. If you've been just really going through something, if you've been facing some persecution, whether in your family, your job, I want to encourage you to come up here. And just like Paul and Silas, let's get our worship on for a little bit. Let's pray. Maybe some of us, we just really need to say, Lord, forgive me because I've given all my attention to those that have made me mad rather than giving my attention to you. Some of us really need to take time too to say, you know what? I'll embrace this suffering that I'm going through. I'll partake in the very suffering that Christ went through for me. Maybe now, just as Peter wrote, maybe now we can actually rejoice in our suffering, knowing that his glory will be revealed in the time of persecution. Would you come up, just be honest and just say, just like Paul and Silas, I'm stepping out, I'm going to praise and worship my God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift our hands to you, God, and surrender. Lord, for many, there have just been some trials, some affliction, persecution that we're just so tired of facing. We're tired and weary. But through it all, we give you the glory. We rejoice, not because we're being persecuted, but because we know we have a Savior and a Deliverer. And we put our trust in you, and we worship you. And Lord God, you are the God that saves. You gave us your son, Jesus. We have salvation through your son. And so we dress ourselves in salvation. We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we continue to walk knowing that your light will guide us. We're not walking in darkness. We're walking by the guiding light of your presence, oh God. And so God, we rest in that knowing that you're faithful. You are faithful. We're not alone in this. You're with us, God. And you'll see us through every step of the way. We thank you, Jesus. And we will be a testimony, Lord God. When we do make it through, we will be a testimony of your faithfulness. We will be able to say we did not get through this by ourselves. But in our weakness, we have been made strong by the power of God. We thank you, Jesus. And Lord, because of our testimony in you, as we stand firm, as we drop to our knees, as we surrender, as we praise your name, that all those around us would see that our God reigns. those that would see our God reigns and they would receive Jesus Christ as Savior. We walk knowing this, oh Lord God. Knowing that, Lord God, as we continue to pray, that the church would be strengthened, oh God. Knowing, Lord God, as we seek your face, that those that don't know you, they will come to know you. They will believe because of our testimony. We thank you, God. All glory belongs to you. Thank you, God. You do respond. You respond in all faithfulness and in all righteousness. And we say thank you. Amen. Praise God.